This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. Another night of violent civil unrest in Minneapolis. Protesters chanting, "I can't breathe," the same words George Floyd used before he died on Monday. The overnight protests have included setting fire to a police precinct near the scene of the incident. Here's reporter David Schumann.
It's just very disturbing to see what's going on outside the precinct. And we saw there was a car that was on fire in the Target parking lot. Still light out. It was a little after 7 o'clock, and the crowds, everyone had their phones out. But what was crazy was the recklessness of it.
Downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk 830 WCCO. This is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
We're just past midnight here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Mark Fry. We continue to follow the unrest across the Twin Cities this evening as we have a WCCO radio reporter, Sloan Martin, in downtown Minneapolis. And Sloan, where are you and what are you seeing at the moment?
Well, things have picked right back up here in downtown Minneapolis. An original standoff kind of went by the wayside and has picked back up here again at Nicollet Mall and 4th Street. I am at, and it's again that tense kind of face-off, although this time I'm looking at several dozen State Patrol troopers in riot gear as opposed to Minneapolis police officers. So right now, protesters are putting their hands up in the air saying, "Hands up, don't shoot," chanting the name of George Floyd. But I'm also seeing people who are throwing things at buildings. This part of 4th Street is in very rough shape, Mark, and this is not a really big retail area. This is apartment buildings. This is business type of buildings and places too. So a lot of graffiti, broken buildings. I would say there's still a couple hundred people here. So maybe you heard that just happen right now. But what I thought was kind of things dissipating here in downtown Minneapolis absolutely is not.
Are you seeing any, you know, we're seeing reports of fires, obviously the third precinct in a blaze right now in South Minneapolis. Are there any reports of fires in downtown Minneapolis that you can see?
No, not that I can see at this time, but I have seen officers using chemical irritants here. Heard some protesters complaining of mace and seeing, of course, those gallons of water and milk in order to treat that kind of injury. So not fires that I'm seeing here, but it still looks so different. This part of 4th Street is very, clean and corporate in this part, right along the Nicollet Mall, just north of the light rail trains. So it's a much, much different look from the last time I was here.
And you mentioned it's kind of a residential area too, that there's apartments over there. Did Minneapolis police or anyone kind of talk about what would happen if that did sort of reach that residential area? Just because, you know, plenty of people live and work in downtown, and I think sometimes people forget about just how livable downtown is for Minneapolis.
That is a good question, Mark, and maybe they don't see that risk heightening at this time with people not necessarily living on the ground level. I would be interested to hear from residents, though, about if they're leaving or what they're doing, watching outside of their windows and what is unfolding in front of them, these historic events that we are seeing in Minneapolis. Of course, they have a firsthand look at that, but you would think you probably wouldn't feel too safe with this happening right in front of you and right at the base of your building as well.
Yeah, well, thank you, Sloan. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you here in a little bit. But that's WCCO's Sloan Martin reporting in downtown Minneapolis as the unrest continues here as we enter a Friday morning just past the midnight hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Want to turn our attention to St. Paul tonight, as well as St. Paul Police Department reporting that they've received more than 170 businesses damaged or looted throughout the city. Dozens of fires. They tweeted this about 30 minutes ago. They do say, thankfully, no reports of serious injuries. And their last sentence might strike you, calm on the horizon, from the St. Paul Police Department in their tweet about 30 minutes ago. So the St. Paul Police Department continues to battle those protesters as well here this evening, as it just continues throughout the Twin Cities. So, Henry, you heard from Sloan there, just right down the street from our studios. It just continues as well.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Mark. You hanging in there, man? How much coffee are you drinking right now?
See, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm good with my water, and it's I feel like this whole situation, it's every single second just changes, and it all just, I don't want any of our listeners to forget about why this is happening, coming from Monday night, the tragedy that occurred, obviously, but it's, we're not trying to report to scare anybody. It's just,
no,
it's what's happening, and it's, I think that's something that might get lost in this whole report, is we're not trying to scare anybody is the biggest thing right now. It's just, it's a scary situation for a lot of people.
All right. We'll check in with you here in a couple of minutes, Mark. We appreciate the fine work that Mark is doing, the fine work that Sloan is doing. Let me put this out in the atmosphere, right? Let me put this out there so people that maybe are leaving a protest, or just whoever may hear it. I am pleading with people that are out there that are doing what they're doing and they're not being productive. Please stop. I say that for our city. I say that for our state. I say that for all of the businesses out there. The destruction is not going to help us. Look, I get anger. I get frustration with the systems, the institutions, with what occurred to Mr. Floyd on Monday. But what's going on right now, let's be quite clear. What's going on right now is not going to bring him back. Okay? What's going on right now is not honoring him. I look at what occurred to him, and it breaks my heart, and I've seen that probably as many times as you guys have seen it too. And I've cried about it. I've thought about it. As a black man in this state and in this country, I have had thoughts about my health, my well-being, encounters, the way that I'm viewed from law enforcement, the way that I'm viewed just in society. Right? Because racism exists. There are a lot of things that factor into my psyche and my emotions and how I feel about where I can go and what I can do and when I can do it, right? And there comes a point where, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, if you're out there and you're listening and you're a protester or But specifically, I'm speaking to the people that are doing things that I don't approve of. If you want me to, if I say this and it gets you to stop, then I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You got your point across. Let me say that again. And this is coming from a black man. Okay. I understand it. I live it every day. I don't wear a costume. Okay. And mind you, when I say this, not all of the people that are doing these inappropriate things are black, okay? We got people of all races that are in on this. People are just doing things that I quite frankly don't approve of. I understand the frustration, but the point's been made that we need change, okay? The point's been made that Mr. Floyd's life being taken away from him, it's not okay. The point's been made that we're pissed off. The point's been made we want change. Now, let's be productive. Let's start now. Let's start tonight. Let's it's midnight. It's 12:11. Let's go home. Enough. Let's pack it in. Right? We all got friends that own businesses. Heck, I got a friend right now. I'm gonna see if I can catch him in the commercial break if he's still outside of his business on University in St. Paul, as he was protecting it with some friends earlier this evening, watching people doing all sorts of things and being concerned about his record store. Hopefully he's okay. I haven't checked in with him 4 hours, and we didn't have him on the show earlier. There's a lot of moving parts to tonight. But I think the message has been sent. I'm sending everyone a message right now. That, man, we live here. We get it. I get it. Trust me, I get it. I remember being at Morehouse when the Rodney King riots were taking place in L.A. L.A. wasn't the only city that was dealing with the riots and the protest. There were other cities that people protested. We protested in Atlanta. I wasn't taking advantage of businesses. Me and my peers, who believe to be, we see ourselves as leaders, as scholars. We were upset because we didn't see justice. But if right now, I had to get that out of my system. Okay, if that's what you believe, if that's what you're saying, then it's out your system. Stop tearing everything down doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do you any good. Does it make you feel better? I am in a state of mind where we have to turn the page. Okay? That's where I'm at. How many businesses need to be burnt down? How many businesses need to be looted? Because we all got to wake up and we all got to live with stuff. And it's very important that. And I know some people say, well, what about the images and into the stereotypes and all that? That's why I say that there's a whole lot of people that are part of this that are doing a lot of different things. We got to be part of the change, man. We got to be part of the change. I can't really sit here at this microphone and just expect a police department just to change and other people, we could just do whatever we want. Like, the police is on the wrong, but we can just do whatever we want right now. I mean, wrong is wrong. That's the way that I view it. All right, so we'll do this real quick. Devin, we'll take a quick break. I actually, a buddy of mine that does own a store in regards to, well, hold on. What is the tweet here? You said that you referenced a tweet from Mayor Fry. Can you read the tweet? I don't have the tweet pulled up.
I can.
Okay, read it for
Sloan
me.
Sloan is ready to join us, and I believe she has the text or the tweet.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So let's go to her.
Okay, let's go to Sloan.
Yeah,
Mark.
I can fill you in on that. This is from his official mayoral account that says, we are working with Minneapolis Fire to deliver resources and respond for a beloved neighborhood in our city. We all need to work together to ensure the safety of our friends, family, and Minnesota residents. And right now, working together means clearing the area. So this is something that I've seen a lot of people talk about, Henry, is where is, you know, Mayor Fry and Governor Walz? Walz has not spoken publicly since earlier on in this week in the afternoon, and we're still seeing things continue into the night. And I have to tell you, Henry, you thought that I was, you know, nice and safe and tucked away, but I have rejoined protesters here. We're just a little bit farther north now at the Nicollet Mall and 4th Street, which is normally a residential area, a corporate area. I'm looking at the XL Energy corporate headquarters, I believe, here in downtown Minneapolis. People throwing pieces of rocks and bricks into the windows here. So definitely no dissipating in downtown Minneapolis, at least as things in the 3rd precinct continue to go strong. But did want to bring that update from Mayor Fry, and then the president also with a tweet as well. Have you seen that one, Henry?
Yeah, I didn't. I saw it. I didn't think it was the most productive tweet in the world, but yes, I did see that tweet.
Yeah, so the president tweeting about things that are happening in Minneapolis right now, aware of the situation. But Mayor Fry at least chiming in, I thought that was worth bringing to our listeners' attention, because that's what a lot of people are wondering right now, is about who is, you know, making these decisions, especially when it comes to the third precinct, and how things have continued to be this way in multiple parts of the city. Things still very active here from what I see in downtown Minneapolis. I thought things had dissipated. Still a couple hundred people screaming at the top of their lungs.
Sloan, it sounds like there's some action going on right behind you. What is all of that?
Oh, this is just another tense face-off. Instead of Minneapolis police officers, it looks like state patrol troopers. So a lot of reinforcements have come in into the Twin Cities from around the metro area and from the state today, especially. And that's what's been the challenge throughout today, Henry, is that it hasn't just been one concentrated event or area. It has been in sometimes up to half a dozen different protest locations at a time today, and they have all been huge, well-attended, and fiery, literally and figuratively. So this one here, not seeing any literal fires, but still people getting right into the face of these state patrol troopers who are standing their guard right here on the Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis.
All right, we'll come back to you here shortly, Sloan. We appreciate the update from Sloan Martin in downtown Minneapolis here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll check in with Mark Fry here in a little bit as well, and then I think I'm going to try to get a phone call in. I'll check with Devin here in the commercial break about a gentleman that could probably come on from a small business in St. Paul. I want somebody that owns a small business that's in St. Paul right there in that university, that Midway area, to check in with him and see how things are going, because it sounds like it's still a big crowd out there, and he says via text that it's literally a war zone. So we're going to check in with them coming up next year. Don't go anywhere. Late Night, News Talk A30 WCCO. All right, welcome back to Late Night, News Talk A30 WCCO. We'll get back to reports from Mark Fry and Sloan Martin here in just a second. But real quickly, I want to go to the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline and speak to a friend of mine. His name is Tim Wilson. He's the owner of the Urban Light Record Store in St. Paul. It's right there on University Avenue. And I want to check in with him because I want to talk to somebody who owns a business there in St. Paul, and there's been a lot going on in that area. Tim, I just wanted to check in with you. First off, how are you doing, man? I know that you're trying to protect your business tonight after everything that transpired in South Minneapolis last night, and there's a lot going on in St. Paul today.
Yeah, man, it's just been a super long day, brother. It's crazy.
I assume. So right now, kind of talk to me about what does it look like? What is the scene like there on University, and how many people are out there? Is there tons of people out there already still?
I mean, you know, Henry, man, the crazy thing about it, man, it's like it's daytime. People are walking around like they're at spring break in Miami Beach, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, people hanging out of cars. You know, the mall across the street is on fire right now, dude. There's still smoke burning from the Goodwill and other businesses further down. It's madness, man. This makes no sense.
And I'm with you. It just doesn't make any sense. And I was just articulating that the last segment. The point's been made that we're unhappy, that we're frustrated, that we're upset about what happened to Mr. Floyd. But it's time to do something productive. And one of the main reasons right now that you're on the air with me and you're talking is because you're concerned about your business, man. You've been a business owner for quite some time there in St. Paul, man. And as a small business owner, you're trying to look out for your business right now. You hope that, you know, your place is going to continue to be structurally sound and nothing happens to it.
Oh, God, definitely, man. I mean, we've been here 26 years, man. We'd love to be here 26 more. And our frustration today, man, is just ever since 10 o'clock this morning, literally, you know, people have been looting and doing nonsense all morning up until now, and it's still going and nobody's stopping it. And, you know, unfortunately, all the business owners in this particular area are African American, and we've had to fend for ourselves. No one's coming to help us, so we're all sitting out in front of our businesses hoping to make it through the night.
So is that essentially what's going on right now? Like you are literally sitting there at your business, protecting it, you know, with not only yourself, but you got friends that you got lined up that are trying to assist you in that as well.
Yes. Yeah. We've been here all day, man. And, you know, more and more people have come and we're kind of just all sitting out in front, man. Furniture store, us, barbershops, hair salon, you know, just, I mean, things that are essential in the community. And businesses have been here over 20 years each, man, and we're all just trying to protect it. You know, we don't have big pockets like the big boxes that are having problems today. So this is all for us.
Yeah. All right. But before I let you go, we're talking to Tim Wilson from the Urban Life Record Store on University 1449 University Avenue in St. Paul. If there are people out there that are protesting and maybe aren't doing things above board and are becoming problematic and they're not doing anything productive to honor the legacy of Mr. Floyd, if they're out there listening right now, what do you have to say to them, man? What's the message that you would like to convey to people right now that maybe are looking to take advantage of this tragic situation and loot and do things that they shouldn't be doing?
I mean, at the end of the day, man, I understand the outrage. I get it. We have been through lots and things continue. So I get it. People want to be heard. But at the end of the day, there has to be different productive ways to channel this anger and this energy. And people are becoming opportunists out here, and it's wrong.
Yeah. I'm with you. Hey, thanks a lot, Tim. I appreciate it, man. Hey, stay safe tonight, and I'm wishing you the best, and you and your people that are hanging out there, you guys be safe, all right?
I appreciate you, brother.
All right, take care. That's Tim Wilson checking in here on Late Night. All right, let's head back to Mark Fry and see. Let's do an update with Mark and see where things are right now. Mark, any updates here recently?
There are reports of some fires still burning through Midway. The Midway Shopping Center, according to Devin Krenke with Care 11, he's a photojournalist here in the Twin Cities, reporting several businesses on fire. It's at the Midway Shopping Center just north of Allianz Field. And, you know, just the fires, really a lot of the topic tonight, as we have been reporting, that third precinct has been set ablaze as police abandoned that earlier tonight. And we're just working to confirm a number of things right now that it looks like are could be happening, but still working on confirmation on several things right now. So you know, when things like this are going on, there's a lot of uncertainty about some of the validity or like how valid some things are. So efforting that right now.
You know, one of the things that's a little bit surprising to me, Mark, just a little bit, and I get, this is just my own opinion about it. After we saw what transpired last night with individuals attempting to loot or get into, I think it was the pawn shop, and then the gentleman from the pawn shop, it sounds like, we don't have all of the backstory in terms of everything that transpired, but when we talk about the person that was killed last night, let's just call it for what it is, they were killed last night, I'm a little bit surprised that it has intensified to the degree that it has tonight, knowing that, you know what, this whole idea of I can get in and get out and get some stuff and get some, you know, loot some stuff or to set something on fire, it don't always work out that way. You could lose your life in the midst of doing something that you think is just something, I don't even want to say innocent, but just something that you shouldn't be doing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, just the fact, you know, tonight, St. Paul Police Department, this is about an hour ago, they're saying, thankfully, no reports of serious injuries. That's from St. Paul Police Department. And you're exactly right. I mean, with the amount of just activity going on, you know, it's dark outside. It's windy out here tonight. And obviously, just a lot of it's just an unsettled atmosphere right now. And the fact that you said there haven't been more fatalities. There was that one last night, and it's incredible. I mean, I don't even know if incredible is the right word, Henry. It's just a miracle there hasn't been more casualties than what's been reported.
I'm with you. All right, thanks a lot for the update from Mark Fry here on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, Devin, let's take a quick break. I'll get you the latest with the weather, and then we'll go to Sloan Martin coming up next here on Late Night. We aren't going anywhere. At the top of the hour, we'll hear from Roshini Rajkumar. She's going to carry the coverage for the rest of the evening. But right now, let's check in with Sloan Martin from WCCO. She's in downtown Minneapolis. Sloan, get us updated. How are things going with you out there on the streets?
Yeah, Henry, we are still seeing this tense standoff between state patrol troopers and also still it's been a solid group of a couple hundred protesters for hours. We saw earlier on this evening there were I even saw a count of tens of thousands of people marching in downtown Minneapolis. It was very peaceful. But of course, people who are, you know, maybe a little bit more agitated are getting some face-to-face contact with those troopers right now. But Henry, I also want to talk about a conversation that I am seeing on social media, not just from reporters and public figures, but also just normal residents that I happen to follow on Twitter. And it is the lack of responsiveness from both Mayor Fry and Governor Walz. The last time I went on with you, I did read a tweet that came from Mayor Fry, and he basically said to avoid the area of the 3rd Precinct after protesters basically took over the 3rd Precinct headquarters after police left the building. But the last time we heard from Governor Walz was at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. And then I see this too, Henry. Ryan Winkler, the House Majority Leader, tweeting tonight, the county attorney needs to file charges and the officers must be arrested as soon as possible. The case must be won, legal standards met in order to get a conviction, but we need to have a clear statement that a murder trial is coming now. So that is a very high-ranking Minnesota state lawmaker who is saying this needs to happen right now. And that is what I hear from protesters. I think there was an opportunity today, Henry. And of course, I don't have a law degree. I understand how complicated this is and that investigations take time. But I think there was an opportunity today to say something maybe a little bit more substantial if you're in the law enforcement arm of this situation, because people were expecting something based on the video that they've seen. So I don't know if things, I don't want to say things are irreparable at this point, like they've maybe lost trust in some of our lawmakers and our leaders and those figures, but things continue to be tense here, and I have to think that it's those kinds of statements or lack thereof that we're seeing from these leaders that play into a continued presence like the one I'm seeing here at Nicollet Mall and 4th Street.
I'm with you. And Sloan, I'm glad that you re-brought up that point again, and you mentioned that tweet and that information from the politician just a second ago, because that is something that is playing a part in this, unfortunately, in that, because I get it that a lot of people want to see some swiftness in terms of the process. It's not that simple. It's not that easy. But we know that in this country that when people see horrific things happen, we want to rush into getting people arrested, right? We want the charges to come. We saw that with Ahmaud Arbery. And remember when the video was unveiled in terms of how he was murdered in broad daylight and he was trapped by multiple vehicles and the gentleman and his son? That was something that traumatized people from coast to coast. And now with this, I feel like the way that people are traumatized by Mr. Floyd's death is the same way that they were traumatized by the murdering of Mr. Arbery in Georgia.
I think that's exactly right, because I think when people see this video evidence, when they see a police officer who so flagrantly makes that move that people who are officers are not trained to do, who knew he was being watched, knew he was being filmed, continue to do this, to hear cries for help. I earlier today reported that we have not heard from Bob Kroll of the Minneapolis Police Union, as far as I know at this moment, but we did hear the National Fraternal Order of Police made a statement and said that they were extremely concerned with what they saw in that video. So that's the National Police Union that is saying something before someone here locally. So that is something that I think of, and it's a good comparison between the two, I think.
I read a statement from the unions out in California in the various different, I want to say it was San Francisco, Oakland, and maybe San Jose, but they were very, very outraged by it. And it is somewhat interesting to see that here in Minneapolis, this is our home, that the union and Bob Kroll have not said anything. They've been silent on the entire issue that has occurred over the course of this week. Let me ask you another question, though. Have we heard anything in the evening from Amy Klobuchar?
in that, sorry, someone was just speaking to me. You brought up Amy Klobuchar.
No, I said that's a name that we haven't discussed or talked about this evening here on the show. But have we heard anything from Amy Klobuchar over the course of this evening and night?
Oh, gosh, Henry, I don't want to say for 100% sure because I'm trying to be updated through the phone and also observing and watching what's happening in front of me and talking to people. Yep. And having interviews. I have not seen anything, but I have seen her name brought up because she was someone who could have prosecuted this. Yep. Minneapolis police officer during his previous excessive use of force situation. So I have seen her name come up, especially as she is being considered for vice president.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I brought it up is because there's a lot of conversation today when it was brought up about Derek Chauvin and what she didn't do with him the first time around, how she neglected to not go ahead and press things with him when he had another incident. I think that a lot of people are looking and saying, look, this is not a person that we can viably put on a ticket to be potentially the vice president of the United States of America with any confidence. So this is very damaging to her.
It absolutely is. I mean, especially now seeing this happen in her city and seeing the connection with that officer, Derek Chauvin, it is absolutely worthy of having that discussion. And things have changed from tough on crime to now understanding the more complicated dynamics that play into criminal activity. I think that that has been a major culture shift and something I've heard from people like Ramsey County Attorney John Choi, who I think is, in at least public statements, he has spoken very sensitively about these issues in terms of how law enforcement is approaching certain things. But talking about Amy Klobuchar, it absolutely needs to be brought up, her record. When you're looking at someone who's going to be potentially the vice president, their entire record. And I would think, and from what I've seen and kind of detect from residents here, for a lot of people, it doesn't really sit well with them.
Yep. All right, thanks so much, Sloan. Be safe, and we'll probably come to you one more time before I'm done here at 1 o'clock. All right, that's
all right,
Sloan Martin,
Henry.
Checking in. Yep, from the streets there for News Talk 830 WCCO. As I'm starting to get, I'm all over the place. I'm all discombobulated. I'm talking to Sloan. I'm on Twitter. I'm here. I'm there. I'm checking my phone. I'm looking at information, whatever. So we're running the gamut here. How many different media platforms can you be on at one time? Right? It's a lot. It's a lot going on. And by the way, Devin, I want to thank you so much for being there tonight. I know that, my regular producer, Chris is a little bit under the weather, and so we're hoping that he feels better. And I know that that he'd love to be manning the board and producing tonight, but you are doing a really fine job of connecting with Mark and getting guests on, and also talking to Sloan down the line too. It's a lot. It's a lot of moving parts. I know that there are times where radio seems easy, and then radio seems super complicated. I'm not gonna lie. Right now, it's a pretty complex situation. But we all understand the magnitude of what's taking place. We all understand the importance of being on the air live. We all understand the importance of being safe. We all understand that people are struggling. We all understand that businesses are being hurt. We're all understanding of the fact that right now the world is watching. We all understand that there are people that may not be in the streets in various different cities across the country, but they care about us and they're with us in the struggle. But at this particular time, my message to the people out there, as much as I am a protester, as much as I care about the people, as much as I care about bettering our community and having freedom, I think that we got to start winding things down. I'm dead serious, because there's nothing productive that's taking place right now. It's spiraled beyond out of control, and it's not just about tonight. It's even before tonight. But that's my message. Now, will anybody listen to me? I hope. If my message reaches one person that's have ideas of doing something that's not constructive, and they say, you know what, Lake's being reasonable, he's being rational in regards to the approach, I'm gonna fall back. That's all I'm saying, and that's all that I can't. can I make a recommendation? Can I give my opinion? Can I give my thoughts on what we need to do and how we should move forward? Yeah. Does it mean you'll listen? No. Right? But I'm going to tell you that right now, what's taking place, it's not helping Minnesota. It's not helping any of us. And that's what I'm trying to alert to people. That's the reason why we had Tim Wilson on 20 minutes ago, as he's standing outside of his business in St. Paul, and he's hoping that people will stop doing what they're doing and the looting and the burning of businesses and all that as a small business owner. That's the reality of it. If you want to stick out your chest and say that the point's been made, okay, we hear you. I hear you. I'm a person of color that's talking to everyone. Everyone. Because we're all a part of it, right? The people that are out there protesting, the people that are out there being responsible protesters, more power to you. To the people out there that are taking it to another level and we don't condone what you're doing, we know it's not just one particular profile of an individual out there that's doing that. We know it's a lot of people doing stuff. But that has to stop. It needs to stop right now. You're not helping us. You're hurting us. You're not helping any message. I don't know what your message is at this point. The message is starting to get diluted. Hell, it might not even be starting to get diluted. It might be diluted at this point. Okay? Somebody lost their life last night. The night is still young. I hope that people are safe. But there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees in this. And at the end of the day, I reiterate to people, if you're thinking about doing something that's not constructive to the message, to honoring Mr. Floyd and his family, or that's being productive for him, being positive for him, don't do it, please. I stand by my tweet from yesterday. Don't do it. I wish that we could bring him back, but we know that that's not so. All right, we'll take our final break, come back, wrap up Late Night. News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, final segment here on Late Night, but don't go anywhere. At the top of the hour, Roshini Rajkumar, she's going to be hosting the show. She's going to be broadcasting live throughout the rest of the evening. So please stay with us. If you want to be updated on everything throughout the evening, please stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Don't go anywhere. I do want to, before we're done here, or before I'm done, because we're not done as a station, we'll continue to do this thing all night long. But before I'm done, I do want to check in at least one more time with Mark Fry and one more time with Sloan Martin. So if Mark is free right now, if he's available, Devin, I'd love to go back to him. I'd love to toss to him right now and check in with him about I'd love some information about the precinct. Where are we at with that? How are things going over there? Has that settled down any? So let me know once Mark is available.
So I was taking calls. Say that again.
No. Let's talk to Mark Fry. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am here. As you were saying about the fires, they are still going on. I think more and more are starting to pop up, trying to get some more confirmation, getting reports that there could be a fire. Actually, this is coming from Paul Bloom from Fox 9, that the Arby's on Lake Street is down, and it looks like Target might be on fire in that area again as well. So fires continue to be another issue. Taking a look at an interview that the Minneapolis fire chief had with WCCO not too long ago on Channel 4, he told them that he has only 34 National Guard members that he has access to tonight to help try and stop fires. So, that was one of the big things today, Henry, the National Guard being put into action for tonight. And John Friedel telling WCCO Channel 4 he only has 34 those National Guard members to try and stop these fires tonight. So just curious as to how that number was maybe determined to help out this evening.
You know, one of the things that's also interesting to me, Mark, is that, and this just shows you the level of how angry and people are upset. It's almost as though COVID-19 and the coronavirus is not even, it's not even a thing right now, right? Like that's the thing
exactly.
That's blowing me away by. It's almost like we've thrown that away, and it's like, to hell with a quarantine life, to hell with social distancing, forget about all of that. The images that you're seeing, are people wearing masks? Are people like, how is that playing out?
Yeah, so I have seen plenty of masks. I was out earlier, way early this morning at about 7 o'clock in Uptown. Tells you sort of the length of the day I've had. But there were people wearing masks. I wore a mask out there this morning. But obviously in downtown Minneapolis, there were plenty of photos, videos, and from our reporters as well, just of, you know, protesters wearing masks. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago where protesters were outside of Governor Walz's mansion in St. Paul protesting COVID-19 and those orders, and that seems like a year ago, Henry, compared to what's going on right now.
Hey, Mark, I got one final question for you.
Yeah.
You know, 2020 hasn't been a very good year for us. Can we just go ahead and fast forward to 2021?
Yeah, I turn 30 next year, so I don't know if I want to do that yet or not.
Oh, I guarantee you 30 will be so much better than 29. I'm telling you right
now. I think so too, but I mean, there's still plenty of year left. You know, obviously, all the news it's just happened so quickly, and I think that's been one of the it's exhausting as of, you know, people listening, people reporting, and I think it's you know, it's just a matter of time before maybe an uptick of good news starts. But Henry, we're all in this together right now, man.
I'm with you, man. Thank you so much for assisting me throughout the evening. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me on your show. Thank you.
No, not a problem. That's Mark Fry joining us here on Late Night News Talk, A30 WCCO. Let's check in one more time with Sloan Martin, and she's in downtown Minneapolis. Any new information, Sloan?
I am still at Nicollet Ball and 4th Street, and it seems like these exchanges between the state patrol troopers in riot gear standing alongside parallel to 4th Street across Nicollet Mall are maybe getting a little more tense and escalated at this time. I've seen protesters running away rapidly. I have not seen you know, chemical irritants go out, but that could just be my vantage point. But usually that's why, you know, they're running away. So that's the back and forth, the tense back and forth that we're continuing to see here in downtown Minneapolis. But we are following what's happening in the 3rd Precinct as well. But I think it's worth staying here and following in downtown Minneapolis, because there are still several hundred people. The crowd has not dwindled, Henry. They just moved to a different location to find another to find some more police officers. And now, can you hear the applause in the background? These state troopers are turning their backs and walking away. Or at least, no, it looks like, actually, let me get a better look here, Henry. I think that they are just moving a little bit farther back and gathering up together. It looks like maybe their backs are turned. There's a large number here of these troopers. And no, they're still standing there in line. It looks like a couple of them are maybe leaving and walking down Nicollet Mall, but still a presence here from State Patrol bringing in those reinforcements. So something's changing right here, but still feeling a little bit of that agitated energy here in downtown Minneapolis. It's been going on for hours. If you think about that really large march happened at around 5 o'clock, a lot of those people left, but there's still a very sizable number still here.
You know, one of the things that I would be intrigued as to, if I was a reporter that was at the White House or whatever, when seeing President Donald Trump's tweet tonight, one of the things that I'd be intrigued to know is whether he's had any communication or conversation with Bob Crowe here in Minneapolis.
Well, I think in that tweet, the one where he seemed to threaten a military presence and possibly a lethal one on protesters.
Yeah, he talked about lethal force,
He talked. I thought that he mentioned talking to Governor Walz, and we know they've been in contact about the COVID-19 response. So I imagine that they, you know, maybe are accessible to each other. But that is why, you know, I brought up earlier in this hour, Henry, is trying to find those updates updates from those state lawmakers, including Governor Walz. We have not heard, he did tweet earlier today, I think maybe 7 or 8 hours ago, but he has not spoken publicly to the media or to the public since 3 p.m. on Wednesday, when that was also rolled into a COVID-19 update. So that would be something to ask about. I mean, President Trump's tweets is something we absolutely need to be hearing about from local public officials about the, I guess, the validity of that and the possibility and what that discussion was, because that's a significant thing to put out there.
Yeah, it really was. Sloan, I want to thank you so much. You're a phenomenal reporter. You're a great colleague. You're a great teammate. I'm truly blessed to work alongside you. I thank you for everything tonight.
Well, thank you, Henry, and I so appreciate your vulnerability and your openness in talking about something that is so personal and so serious to you, and we are the better for it.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's Sloan Martin from WCCO Radio out there in downtown Minneapolis. Hey, Devin, I thank you so much for producing the show tonight. This has been a night that I will never forget. I'm proud of the coverage that we have brought to you tonight. I'm proud of the coverage that we will continue to bring to you. With Rashini stepping in here in the next couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. I'm truly blessed, and I thank everybody that's been listening tonight, and I thank everybody for all the support. And I will talk to you later. Late night, News Talk A3O, WCCO.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. More violent protests overnight in Minneapolis, including a police precinct set on fire. This is protesters show their anger over Monday's death of George Floyd. Frank Vescalero of WCCO-TV.
If you thought last night was a tumultuous, violent night, tonight is that. Maybe we're not sure yet, maybe in the number of buildings, but in the scope and scale of what's being destroyed and what's happening, it is a huge black eye and something that will be part of Minneapolis history. And unfortunately, something that people will probably associate with Minneapolis and the Twin Cities for a long time.
The Minneapolis Fire Chief John Frutell says fire crews have, in some cases, had difficulty getting to the scene of the many fires that have been set.
We've had rocks and different type of projectiles thrown at us now the last couple nights, and it's made it very challenging, and our, certainly our number one priority is the safety of our firefighters.
Downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk A3O WCCO. This is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
Just past the 1 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm Mark Fry this evening as we continue to monitor what's going on across the Twin Cities as the unrest continues following the Monday night death of... Monday night death of George Floyd, as we take it now to Sloan Martin, who is in Minneapolis downtown following what's going on. Sloan, how are things going since we last heard you? We were told by you that the State Patrol had started backing up, but maybe was just repositioning themselves.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I didn't have the best vantage point because there still is a sizable crowd here that hopefully you can hear the chanting in the background. And there's a long line of State Patrol troopers in riot gear that are firmly standing their ground parallel to 4th Street across the Nicollet Mall here in downtown Minneapolis. Earlier tonight, tens of thousands, I've seen as high of the count, came out for a march throughout downtown. It was largely peaceful, but it was fierce and strong. But a lot of people have stuck around after that. We know that there are multiple sites that are really hosting a lot of people and anger and protests at this time. But the one I'm seeing in Minneapolis is usually a lot, or downtown, I should say, a lot of young people, especially a lot of people on bikes who are showing up and might come in and out. But it is still a tense face-off between these troopers in riot gear and protesters. A couple times I've seen them back away quickly. Maybe they were fearful of chemical irritant. I don't know if it was exactly deployed. It wasn't close enough to see, but still a sizable group here. And I don't know if they'll be going anyplace anytime soon, Mark.
Sloan, you know, this all started Monday night after the death of George Floyd, and you've been covering this on the streets. You've been towards the 3rd Precinct numerous times. You're in downtown tonight. What's the feel like compared to maybe down in the southern part of the city, you know, where tonight we've heard about the unrest and the fire raging through that 3rd Precinct? And how's that compare? Does it at all? I mean, is there a different feel to this in downtown compared to in the south?
Well, I've not been over to the 3rd Precinct tonight, but even when I was there last night, it still had this kind of chaotic anger that you could detect very early on. This one just seems like it is young people who wanted to be out. It is still, you know, kind of warm enough and still angry, you know, for the death of George Floyd. But you see images and the reports from what's happening over at the 3rd Precinct, which just seems like the most kind of apoplectic kind of anger you could imagine happening over there, with multiple fires here in Minneapolis. In comparison, in downtown, it feels much more calm, and still seeing that confrontation, but I would not compare the two. I was also in St. Paul today. I would compare it to that, where it's not very organized. It's just confrontations. It is a back and forth, an ebb and flow, but it seemed like today that each location, and it seems like at some points in the day today, there were as many as half a dozen sites that had active protests going, whether that's 38th and Chicago, over in the Midway neighborhood, here in downtown Minneapolis. But they all have different kind of demeanors and ebbs and flows that happen throughout them. But this one continues to be mostly young people, but they don't appear to be backing down or dissipating.
All right. Well, thank you, Sloan. And as again, stay safe down there. And thank you for all your coverage here tonight and throughout the week. But as Sloan said, obviously the fires and everything is still going on in St. Paul in the Midway neighborhood as well. So they are monitoring that as well here tonight across the Twin Cities as we wrap it up here for this newscast. But we'll send it over to Roshini Rajkumar, who takes over now. And Roshini, thank you for coming on here tonight. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, you know, you guys have been doing so great. Thanks so much for your coverage, Mark and Sloan. You've just been amazing. I've been listening, and you've had very long days. Roshini Rajkumar with you tonight until at least 4 a.m., and we will continue our coverage of what's really turned into a riot in Minneapolis, lots of unrest around the country. As some of you know, more than 170 businesses in St. Paul have been looted. It is sounding like I might have lost you guys.
No, you're there.
Okay, great. I thought I lost you. Sorry. More than 170 businesses looted in St. Paul. Mayor Carter in St. Paul saying we're seeing a generalized rage. And that's what I want to get into a little bit. And of course, if people are out there and they're witnessing this in their backyards and their sweet streets, I welcome your calls tonight. Give us a ring, 651-988.
Hey, Devin, I can't.
Want to hear those firsthand accounts. But what I really hope is that this rage can dissipate and this rage can turn into understanding. And we won't see this violence. I mean, it is almost just mind-numbing and mind-blowing to think what started right here in Minneapolis has traveled all over the nation. Protests tonight in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Memphis, in Kentucky, in Denver. We'll hear from someone who is connected to those protests in Denver. We'll get a firsthand account from him later this hour. But that is what I think is so hard. I was actually on a Denver talk show earlier today talking about what it's like to be covering something like this and experiencing this as a Minneapolis citizen, which is what I am, and many of you out there are. You're all Minnesotans, many of you who are listening tonight. This is happening in our state, and that's really mind-blowing for me. And, you know, I am not too far from where Sloan is right now. Thank goodness there's no violence around me right now. But I think, Devin, that's what's really the hardest thing as someone who loves my state and loves the city of Minneapolis, that this is happening on our streets. It's not just our backyard. It's on our streets. It's in front of us right now.
Yeah, this is, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. It's very, I can't tell you, I've never been a part of a day like this. Driving down here was surreal. And there's parts...
Yeah, tell me what that was like, because I'm in my home studio and you're down at the station. You know, I'm thinking about your safety as you have to leave work tonight. What was it like driving downtown?
I was driving downtown and I really had no idea what I'd be driving into. And so I come down 94 on the 4th or 7th Street exit, and driving, as soon as I hit downtown, I saw just a line of police cars, and there was a couple people walking, a couple people biking. And then as soon as I got near the government building, there's kind of a lawn outside there, and it was just completely packed full of people yelling. There's people with air horns, with, I mean, anything you can think of. A guy walked past me in a full camo, a bulletproof jacket, or a bulletproof vest, goggles, a mask, and a assault rifle over his chest. And then they marched down the street right past our station. Cambria Gallery is right below us. One of their giant window seals is completely smashed. It was just, I walked in and Susan was in here before me, and I said, this is the first time I've ever been kind of nervous to leave the building. And I had to park a ways away, and Susan said, no, I'll take over the board right now. You go move your car and park somewhere closer. But this town was packed, and all the parking spots were taken. The parking ramps were closed off. People weren't considering the laws at all. I mean, people were parking wherever they wanted, walking wherever they wanted, and it was like a TV show, just like The Walking Dead. It was just people doing whatever they wanted, and some of the characters you would see are just unreal, you know. And some of it I understand, but some of it I don't understand. Like the
yeah, well, it's really hard to understand.
Yeah,
all of it is
sure.
So difficult to understand. And, you know, Devin's words, really like the Twilight Zone, it is surreal. You see these images, and I've been watching the images both on Twitter, on TV, listening to our radio coverage. It is so surreal, and I cannot imagine that we are living this. And a disaster, a crisis within the crisis of our global pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hey, Rashini, let's cut in here.
Yes, we're getting ready. Okay,
yep,
Mayor Jacob Frey.
Yep.
He's getting ready. All right, we will take that live, and then we'll be back.
To evacuate the third precinct. The symbolism of a building cannot outweigh the importance of life, of our officers, or the public. We could not risk serious injury to anyone. And we will continue to patrol the third precinct entirely. We will continue to do our jobs in that area. And, you know, brick and mortar is not as important as life. Happy to answer any questions on this topic.
Mayor, at what point did you hear that people, did you receive word earlier in the day that people might be interested in protesting at or going into the third precinct?
We have received reports regarding many attempting to get into the third precinct on numerous occasions, yes.
What's your response to President Trump's tweet saying that looters should be shot? Have you seen the president's tweets?
No, I have not. Can you?
I'd have to bring it up here to quote it exactly. Does anybody else have that up here?
Mayor, what's the plan here? What are we doing?
With regard to?
Clearing the streets. A lot of businesses have been burned down. A lot of livelihoods have been hurt. We have not seen, we've seen very little police out there just in general at the third and throughout. And I'm just wondering, what is the plan and who is in charge right now in this city?
There is a lot of pain and anger right now in our city. I understand that. Our entire city recognizes that. What we have seen over the past several hours and the past couple of nights in terms of looting is unacceptable. Our communities cannot and will not tolerate it. These are businesses, these are community institutions that we need. These are banks that people rely on to get cash, grocery stores that people rely on to get food. These are pharmacies that people rely on to get medicine. They are essential to our community, and we need to make sure that they are protected. So we are working with our officers right now. We are working, of course, with resources provided by the state. We've authorized mutual aid and a unified strategy so that we can work with different jurisdictions in the area. It was clear as of last night that we needed additional help. And we got that additional help, some from the state, and we are expecting more as well. I'll say this. We additionally need help from our community. We need to make sure that people are looking out for our city right now. It's not just enough to do the right thing yourself. We need to be making sure that all of us are held accountable to make sure that we're holding up the highest ideals that we stand by.
Mr. Mayor, there were people out there tonight that were saying things like, where are the police right now? Where are the firefighters right now? Where's the National Guard right now? Those are all fair questions. Where were the police, firefighters, and National Guard to protect that third precinct and to protect that neighborhood?
As you already know, there were more than a few fires that our firefighters had to put out. There were more than a few incidents of looting that our officers had to attend to. We are doing absolutely everything that we can to keep the peace. We have officers that are stationed around the city in several different locations. We have, in many instances, assistance from the state to prevent looting at some of these community institutions that we know will be necessary to get through this pandemic. This is one of the most difficult situations that our city has been through. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that there are easy answers to it, because there are not. What I can tell you is that through this pandemic, Chief Arredondo has my 100% support. Chief Friedel and the fire department has my 100% support. We're going to be united as a city.
So where is the National Guard and how is it being deployed? Who's got that control? Who's making those calls?
So many of these questions you're going to want to direct to our chief, who has been working consistently with Harrington from the state. And many of the National Guard, as I mentioned, were stationed and are being stationed in locations to help prevent some of the looting that we've seen.
Like what? What stations?
Banks, grocery stores, pharmacies.
Mayor, I have the president's tweet here. He sent out two just in the last couple hours. One personally attacking you. A second one.
Can you read it?
Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz, and I told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. This is the president of the United States tweeting just a little bit ago. What's your reaction to that?
What was the other tweet?
There was an earlier one calling you a radical leftist and a weak mayor. And to get things under control, and I have it here. I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city. A total lack of leadership, says the president. Either the very weak radical left Mayor Jacob Frey get his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send in the National Guard and get the job done right. That was the first of two tweets from the president.
Well, let me say this. Weakness is refusing to take responsibility for your own actions. Weakness is pointing your finger at somebody else during a time of crisis. Donald Trump knows nothing about the strength of Minneapolis. We are strong as hell. Is this a difficult time period? Yes, but you better be damn sure that we're gonna get through this.
Mayor, some people have questioned whether you made a conscious decision to let people go into the third precinct and offer it up as kind of one of these healing spots that you had referenced earlier in the day. Is that how you were approaching it?
No. No. The decision that I made was for the safety of our officers and the safety of the public. The symbolism of a building cannot outweigh the importance of life. It's a decision that I did not take lightly. I understand the importance of a precinct, but we are able to regroup and continue providing the same service to the third precinct as a geography.
Mayor, at what point did you make that decision?
I don't remember the exact time.
Earlier in the afternoon or just a couple hours before it was taken?
As situations started to escalate more and more, as we saw more and more people breach the perimeter, as we noted, we have to have our officers at many locations throughout the city to prevent looting and crime, it became obvious to me that safety was at risk, and it became obvious to me that we could take a different route that would better assist both the public as well as the safety of our police officers.
Mayor, do you have any idea how many officers were in that building when it was breached?
I think you have to talk to the chief.
And two, is there a calculus in terms of property versus engaging protesters or being more overt with force? Is there a decision-making process in terms of building versus engagement?
I don't understand your question.
I mean, you have a decision to make whether the building, the third precinct in general, some of those businesses on that corner, should just be let go, you know, no police responding to it, or do you engage the protesters and clear them off the streets by, you know, any means necessary to tools that are at your disposal in terms of a heavily, tooled urban police force that I would imagine have the tools to clear streets.
Yeah, I'm still not following. The decision comes down to public safety, period.
One more question?
I'm going to take one more question, yep.
So what do you tell the public in that community that doesn't have that precinct that to work from to help protect the other homes or other businesses?
The resources that we will offer to the people of the third precinct will continue, period. The building is just bricks and mortar. It's a building.
What if it does get worse? You talked about the community needs to help, but what if they don't? What is that plan to address that?
I've been in touch with Governor Walz at the state. We have expressed the need for resources. We are appreciative already of the assistance that we've gotten in the form of state patrols, and as you know, we've requested the National Guard as well. We anticipate that those resources will be increasing as well.
Mr. Mayor, everybody, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.